the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
One of the interesting use cases for crypto in Africa is, of course, stablecoins, mainly because the demand is for remittances and cross-border payments, and also just for purchasing everyday items. Well, one person who's been looking into this is David Gitonga, who runs an information and educational portal called BitKE in Kenya, Nairobi. And David, welcome to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us, what are the trends in crypto in Kenya? It was mentioned in the recent Visa report, which is looking at stablecoins in emerging markets, that Kenya was mentioned very prominently as one of the countries where stablecoins are being used. Is this something that you've been noticing? And what about Bitcoin and Ethereum and some of the others? Is there less interest in speculation and more interest in stablecoins for everyday purposes?
I think the report puts it correctly. Yes, there is interest in stablecoins. Not so much, when it comes to Bitcoin and Ethereum and other cryptos. And this is for one main reason. So stablecoins are quite popular when it comes to remittances. So Kenya happens to be one of the countries that also receives quite a huge amount in terms of remittances from the United States, from the UK and other places. So the demand and the growth of stablecoins is largely being fueled by, those remittances when it comes to moving money. So a lot of people and companies have realized that, it's much easier, it's much faster if they send money through stablecoins. So that is fueling most of that growth. So when you look at crypto, there's really, as much as there's interest, the interest is not as big as what we are seeing in stablecoins. So a few people will dabble in Bitcoin, in Ethereum, but not really substantial amount. Yeah. So I would say stablecoins are largely fueling actually the crypto scene in Kenya.
Talk to us about BitKE, which is your product, your information portal. You are on a campaign to educate Kenyans or East Africans in the use cases for crypto. How did you get started in this, and what level are you pitching it at? Because even if you're talking about stablecoins, you need to have a digital wallet, so you've got to get over that barrier. How do you communicate that?
Yeah, so I always tell this interesting story of how I got into crypto space. So I used to do media work for the first crypto exchange in Kenya, and that's where I got introduced into crypto. So they used to do these meetups and training sessions. So as I attended, being a media partner, I got to learn about crypto. So beyond that, I really tried to look for more information. Where can I get to learn? Which other meetups, are happening? But I couldn't find this information. So I decided, why don't I create, a platform where, people can learn more about crypto. And that's how BitKE was born. So it was born out of a need that I had. It grew quite quickly because I realized quite a number of people were eager to learn. I remember the first meetup that I organized, it was packed. The pool was full that we had to, put people away. And that was quite an eye-opener for me because I realized, okay, there's a huge gap here, and I think, we can build something that people will like. And yeah, that's how I started BitKE. I started it in 2018, and I've been running it since then. So we've had, thousands of people who visit the website every day just to learn about what's happening in the crypto space, not just in Kenya, but also across Africa.
Right. So one of the first barriers that people are going to have is they're going to have to create a wallet. They're going to have a digital wallet. Is that one of the things that you're helping people with? Is that that's the first barrier? And then, of course, making a transfer, putting some fiat, some Kenyan shillings into that wallet. How do people get started?
Yeah, so usually the way we do it is we train people by introducing them to services that, you know, offer those services that you mentioned. So, for example, we know that you, if you download a wallet, you know, you need to load it with some money. So what we do on the platform is we highlight, for example, services that are able to on-ramp and off-ramp you onto a crypto wallet. So that's what we do. So we'll highlight projects and startups that are building those rails. So that's the kind of approach we take. Initially, we used to, you know, organize meetups and we train people. But then we realized that, you know, a much better way would just be to introduce people to services that are doing that. Yeah, and you're right. You mentioned it's, you know, there's an education gap that still exists. And we try to fill it that way. You know, a large number of people still think Bitcoin is a scam. So there's still that hurdle that I feel it will take some time before, you know, people realize, oh, you know, that Bitcoin is not a scam. People also don't know the difference between Bitcoin and crypto. So every time you talk about Bitcoin or Ethereum, they think it's crypto. And another misconception is, you know, you can make quick money from holding crypto. So people, for example, will come and say, okay, how much do I need to buy so that I can make $100? Or how fast can I make $100? So there are these questions that people have. They assume, you know, you just buy crypto, it's an investment. After 2-3 days, you make, you know, double the money, or you make a quick profit. And a lot of this has been fueled by the scams that have been around. So scammers will come with the idea that, you know, buy this and I'll triple your earnings in a day or 2 days or in 24 hours. So that is still the prevalent narrative. And, you know, we have to debunk it by, you know, showing people that that's just not true. So you need to learn, you need to educate yourself before you even, you know, get into crypto.
Right. And I suppose people are using social media a lot as a way to promote these scams. Is that where you spend a lot of your time debunking these things, these impossibly attractive sounding returns, and telling people not to go near them?
So initially we used to use social media, yes. A lot. Every time we publish an article on our website, we used to, you know, go on social media. We used to create videos as well. But then over time, we realized actually the best way we'll be able to educate people is to just create more content on the website. So from the website, so we've had many people who just reshare that content on social media. So we just do basic social media, but a lot of the sharing happens, you know, by other people. So yeah, social media is an important tool, but we sort of create content so that, you know, other people use social media to spread the word.
Yeah, I mean, the scammers are also using social media, isn't it? That's how they promote their schemes.
Yes, correct. So they use Facebook. You're going to find them on Instagram. So unfortunately, they are really good at it. So I think scammers have a talent when it comes to, you know, getting people to buy into their ideas. And I feel like that's just something we'll have to deal with for quite some time until people wake up to the reality. And also something else that we try to do is we try and let people know that there is a credible website they can go to get reliable information. I think that is really important, because unless people know that they can go somewhere, they'll always fall prey to scammers.
Right. Now, you mentioned in the beginning that you held an event and it was an overflow and you had to turn people away. So there's clearly a lot of interest in crypto. But I'm interested to find out about the demographics of the adoption, who's adopting crypto in Kenya. Are these people who are fairly sophisticated? They understand the financial system. They're already dealing with bank accounts. Or is it across the board?
So I'd say it's a mix, but a good number of people who do that are, you know, people of crypto, but they've had some exposure. So they are aware that, you know, I can use crypto to send money fast, but also I'm not too deep into it in that, you know, they're really not interested in any other use case for crypto. So that's the demographic that I find getting into stable coins. Beyond that, there's also a much younger demographic, but they are more interested in trading or how to earn money, you know, from flipping coins and all that. But it's not really huge. The demographic that's actually moving volumes is a working demographic that's only interested in how do I move my money faster cross borders.
Okay, and we've talked about that Visa report again, and the fact that if you look at the reasons given for the adoption of stablecoins in Africa, mostly it appears to be because people are trying to protect themselves against weakening local currencies. Now, the Kenyan shilling has actually appreciated in the course of this year. A little bit unusual in terms of the African story. It's like the South African rand. We've had an election, a government, a national unity. The rand has started strengthening. Not much. If you go back 10 years, you know, it's still down about 60-70% compared to what it was. But are people using it for that purpose as a way to hedge against anticipated weakening in the currency?
So in terms of hedging, I'd say that has mostly happened in the countries you've mentioned, Nigeria and South Africa. When it comes to Kenya, I have not seen much adoption from hedging. And for those reasons that you mentioned, I don't think Kenyans really understand inflation, you know, this at the same level maybe a Nigerian would, because if you look at the Kenya shilling, it's fairly stable. Most people still, you know, as much as most people don't have a lot of money, there's a statistic that came out that, you know, there are very few bank accounts in Kenya, but it's largely because people don't have money to bank. So the worry is not so much on inflation, so much on how do I move my money. So that's what's driving, you know, adoption. I think to an average Kenyan, inflation, it's never an issue that they worry about too much.
And are there any stats available coins or adopted crypto in any form?
So that's the big question. Still, no one fully knows the number. So a few numbers have been thrown around. So recently, the government talked about 700,000 Kenyans or so into crypto, not so much in stable coins. A few other crazy numbers have been thrown. I don't think they are realistic. But yeah, generally, no one has the exact number. And it will be challenging just to know that number, because most people, you know, don't want to reveal, you know, if they're trading or they're using stable coins. So that's where the problem is.
Very interesting story. And tell me finally, what are the trends elsewhere in East Africa, in Uganda, Rwanda, Tanzania? Is Kenya out in front in terms of adoption?
Yes, definitely. Kenya is leading when it comes to adoption, not just in stablecoins, in crypto, in the region. And Kenya, I would say, is fueling a lot of the crypto activity within the East African region, because most people rely on Kenya's banking system, you know, the mobile money system. So most, you'll realize that there's a lot of trading or activities happening between Kenya, Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania. So Kenya plays a key role in sort of hearing the region's, you know, crypto activity.
Very interesting. And I'm sure that you played a pretty important part in educating people in East Africa about the opportunities that crypto presents. So I want to thank you, David Gitonga from BitKE, for joining us on the MoneyWeb Crypto podcast.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.